This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Listen, fatty, the last thing your waistline needs is another Twinkie.
Just sit there. Ring of Honor is coming right back.
All right. What up, High Fivers? If it's your first time listening to Ring of Honor Reverie, my name is High Five Tom, and I am joined by Derry, New Hampshire's favorite adopted son, and as our good friend, Mr. Scott George says, never ever from Pinkerton Academy, Will Mercier. Will, how are you today? Welcome, High Fivers, if you're a new listener. If you're an existing listener, thanks for coming back.
I appreciate you said you did like an intro for new listeners and then mentioned a very inside joke. If this is your first time listening, I'm Will. Tom's the one who does all the hard work, and I make contributions every now and then.
I don't know.
Usually for the sake of derailing the conversation.
We're going to break down the fourth wall here real quick, but Will just got a big stack of fucking Ring of Honor DVDs, so
I did a bunch of Ring of Honor, I got a couple PWGs, but I'm thinking, Tom, I also, I'm seeing the stack, I've got Michael Elgin, Unbreakable Obsession, but I think the winner here is A Decade in the Making.
That's pretty cool.
Matches from 2003 up through March 2007 at Supercard of Honor 2. It'll probably be way more interesting than the decade story was. That felt like 10 years. And it's still going.
That's awesome. Well, it's not awesome. Well, I mean,
what's on this Michael Elgin one? Curious. Oh, stack's falling.
Losing Jimmy Jacobs really kind of hurt. You know, go back in the archives.
Interesting. So I get a full episode of Ring of Honor TV on the Michael Elgin one. There's a Ring of Honor Wrestling Unbreakable Michael Elgin showcase episode. And then it's matches from the Final Battle 2012 up through a match against AJ Styles from April of 2014.
Wow.
So this is all early stuff. They put out this DVD mad early.
Yeah, maybe they were worried.
Yeah, so the last match is his number one contender for the Ring of Honor Championship from second to none from April 19th, 2014.
Which you can go back into the archives of Ring of Honor Reverie and listen to Will and I pontificate about that. So
we had to have talked about it. I don't remember a show being called second to none, but that doesn't mean anything.
I don't either. Of course, all my previous notes are on my laptop, which is still have tuna salad juice on it.
The match before that is October 2013, Champions All-Stars.
That we definitely covered.
We definitely did.
All right, Ring of Honor. Events.
Ooh, Elgin Steen from Death Before Dishonor.
That was dope.
Pretty sure I said that was my match of the year. We got Elgin, Paul London.
What was the date on that Second to None show?
Second to None, April 19th, 2014.
Wow, no. Huh. Yeah, that's just before Global Wars. We had a Future of Honor show the day before, but... So, yeah, I don't think we actually did cover that one.
Oh, man.
Maybe we should. I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. Right now, my mission is to... I got to get you a copy of this Decade DVD. Because although we're not fans of BJ Whitmer, dude wrestled a good match.
Yeah. I mean, that six-man we did with... was Adam Pearce, but I mean, he really stood out in that match, too, so... good old BJ Whitmer. Remember him and Charlie Haas? That was so bad, it was good.
Oh, and BJ Whitmer put himself through the table and almost really fucked himself up. They got in fights at like the car dealership.
Yeah.
Oh, memories. But yeah. Anyway, Tom and I are covering Ring of Honor Television.
We are.
From 2015 AD.
Yeah, our first one. So we're doing a double shot because we have a double shot of Survival of the Fittest next week.
Which I do have on DVD from Milwaukee and somewhere in, what was the second show? Hopkins, Minnesota, right?
Hopkins, Minnesota. Shout out to Handsome Kevin. But Will, speaking of the Midwest, we are in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We are in Kalamazoo for this whole taping, right?
Yes, we'll get some answers. You know, we speculated, when are we going to get this Roger Strong, Jay Lethal match? Tune in next Saturday.
Yeah. So, to break down the fourth wall, you know, at first, you know, I wasn't quite paying as much attention as I should have been, which is 100% on me. But they're actually doing like a pay-per-view like taping, which is actually a really good idea. You know, because I have a feeling probably this taping might have been better than Glory by Honor itself.
Yeah, Glory by Honor stank.
And the nice thing is, too, we'll definitely kind of get into it here a little bit as we get progressed through TV, but this is definitely kind of going into your Ring of Honor wheelhouse from the beginning then. So you definitely have a couple memories from this match or from this taping?
I got memories from being 300 pounds, but I do have some memories from the second episode we're going to cover.
Yeah, but our first one, Ring of Honor TV episode 216 from Veterans Day 2015. And we got Kevin Kelly and Nigel on the call. Obviously, Steve Corino has been, well, we're not really sure of the status of Steve Corino, so we'll definitely get to that a little bit later. Spoiler alert.
Right, Nigel's got to make a decision. But,
you know, if he's not getting sued by Veda Scott first.
Right, that we have ongoing pending litigation from Veda Scott for unsafe work environment. Which we get a little taste of in this episode, almost hit by a streamer, and she was not happy.
No. But speaking of unsafe working environments, our first match, ACH versus Cedric Alexander. Like I said, for some odd reason, I missed it at the beginning. I'm like, what is this from, like a dark match of Glory by Honor, or is this part of a taping? I totally, man, that I missed that.
No, but it's so weird because they... Because Glory by Honor was like such weird, almost felt like a chopped up show. And now they're doing like a Glory by Honor like weekend thing. But Glory by Honor wasn't billed as being from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
No. Dayton, Ohio. But I felt kind of bad because the crowd was pretty sparse for this. I was like, yeesh.
If only they knew.
If only they knew. And like I will mention earlier, Beta gets Scott got hit in the face with a streamer, and then Nigel's lots of kind of off-color comments about hitting her in the face.
There was a lot of kind of off-color comments by Nigel about Beta Scott.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, all right. Obviously, if you're a fan of the show, listen, we are big fans of ACH. Not sure what his current status is. Hopefully he can come back healthy and strong in present 2025. But man, he can really fly. I mean, at this point, is ACH really what Cedric was in 2013?
All the promise in the world and nowhere to go?
Yeah. So.
Hey, he's got his match number 5 against Matt Sydal coming up.
Which you can watch on DVD, Will. But, I mean, these two are spectacular. Lots of good fun back and forth. But at one point, Cedric, quote-unquote, slips off the top rope.
Ate shit off the top rope.
Like, ate shit. Like, I had to go back and rewatch it because I kind of missed because I looked away for a second. I was like, oh. Beta's, you know, talking about the unsafe work environment, how the ropes are slippery, this, that, and the other thing. But he slips into a super kick into a 450, and ACH is going into Milwaukee hot. Now, Will.
And ACH even was a little unsteady on the ropes, too. So, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Which is funny because later on his tag team partner would debut in the AEW Battle Royal or whatever, and he would also eat shit off of Shooting Star Press.
That he would. I'm assuming obviously that this quote unquote slip was a work.
Man, I don't know. Was it?
And you had to, but if not, that was pretty bad because he like ate shit. So if it was supposed to be a work or like,
I can't recall a ton of spots where like we're gonna have you intentionally like slip and fall off the corner. That might have been a genuine goof.
Yeah, but in the end,
a botch, if you will.
They're gonna work it. So, but after that, Kevin Kelly gets into starts talking to ACH on the good old microphone, and he's walking into Milwaukee with the same mentality. You know, obviously, every time he wrestled Samoa Joe, every time he wrestled AJ Styles, la da da da. But this time, he's gonna get his hand raised. And then Vedic comes out, accosts Nigel afterwards, and she's suing Nigel, personally. Nigel is responsible for an unsafe work environment. Will, I kind of glossed over. What was a super solid match, I thought? I mean, obviously, ACH and Cedric are two of the best going here in 2015, but do you have any additional thoughts?
What a curiosity of somebody pursuing legal action at the pro wrestling company is an unsafe working environment.
Yeah. She might be a little late on the boat on that one. But after that, we've got, speaking of Cedric Alexander, when he was at his best, with Caprice Coleman versus 2015's probably breakout star of the year, Big Willie Styles.
Yeah, Will Ferraro. Got a little promo from Caprice Coleman at the start of the match.
Interesting.
Prince Nana on the call.
The Nana. Always like when the Nana's on the call. But he's saying nice things about Big Willie, and then he's got some offhanded remarks, so I thought that was interesting. They mentioned, obviously, a couple weeks ago that the Nana had given Caprice Coleman an envelope. We still don't know what that's all about.
He's not looking to tell. He's not looking to spill the beans.
Yeah. But have they confirmed it's obviously Jay Lethal versus AJ Styles the main event of the final in the final battle?
Yes.
Okay. But there one spot there was an STO.
Yes, as per story time in next week's episode.
No, I wonder if Mandy got fired.
Oh no, I think she comes back.
Okay.
Because she's definitely part of the Women of Honor stuff that they have.
Yeah, lure. Yeah.
Hey, easy with that hand gesture when we're talking about women.
Good point. It's a good thing.
We're going to get canceled.
Yeah. There's one spot where Caprice did that STO, like, Russian leg sweep thing, into the corner and almost knocked Will out. I was like,
The part where Will ate shit in the corner and they're like, oh, Caprice is going to check on him, make sure he's okay. Then he throws him in again.
He had like an injury. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And then the, I don't remember the name of the submission hold, but I really like that submission hold that Caprice Coleman.
It's like a chicken wing camel clutch thing.
Yeah, tapped out Will Ferrara, a new move from Caprice Coleman.
I think they called
it. You know, he said at the start of the match, basically, he knows everything I've taught you, but I haven't taught you everything.
I think they called it the judgment seat or something like that. I may have missed that, but yeah, but it was like we said, Nana's outside, but Nana's actually taking like actual notes, like pen and paper. So he's not actually just faking like he's taking notes. So I thought that was a nice touch because usually people are outside taking notes. They're just sitting there watching and everything. So I wonder what kind of handwriting Prince Nana has, you think?
I don't know, but you know, at the end of this match, in addition to notes, Prince Nana gives Will Ferrara an envelope.
And the plot thickens, Will.
Right? What is he trying to conscript? Who is he trying to bring together? Is there a plan to just bring people together? What is going to happen with you know, Prince Nana, big fan of stables, right?
Yeah.
He likes being attached to a stable. Hasn't been attached to anybody in a while.
So, high fivers, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. But after that, as Will had alluded to a little bit earlier, we get story time with Adam Cole. Adam Cole is very upset. It's going off on Kyle O'Reilly. They did this, that, the other thing. I do like Inside Ring of Honor better. No offense to story time with Adam Cole. But all I got to say about this really segment, Will, is I know we watched this match in real time, but goddamn, Adam Cole looked really young 3 years ago. I mean, he still looks really young, you know. Adam Cole's Adam Cole, but I was
They brought up that hybrid fighting match,
which is definitely a humongous highlight for our first year of Ring of Honor rivalry.
Yeah,
that was probably like the big memorable for our
first. That is, was it that match that he got his teeth knocked out in?
Yeah, I think that was like our first big like memorable moment we had in on the podcast, like in a good way.
Remember, we're like, what the fuck is a hybrid fighting rules match? Like, what is this supposed to be?
Yeah. And after that, Will, we have our main event. The All Night Express versus the Briscoes. Now,
a rematch from whatever show we just had.
Yeah.
Was it Death Before Dishonor we just had?
We had Glory by Honor.
But this is Glory by Honor taping, so this would have been the last show.
Yeah. I don't think their last match was on a pay-per-view, was it?
Yeah, because it was the surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Mystery opponents. I want to say it was Death Before Dishonor. Go back through the archive and figure it out. I don't know. I don't take notes.
But before that, though, Will, I actually had this cage match up. The All-Out Express and the Briscoes before Kenny King's very unique departure, I guess we'll say, have a pretty big fucking history.
That's what commentary was saying, is that this is a long ongoing feud between these two teams.
But they actually had a ladder war on September 17th, 2011. So like literally just before we started watching.
We might have to track that down.
Yeah. So I'll have to look for that up. So I might be another fun watch along. So I mean, we love ladder wars. My two favorite matches in Ring of Honor history, one we've covered and one we're covering at the end of 2028, were both ladder war matches. So it was probably better than Chris Jericho versus Mark Briscoe in a ladder war, but who knows? They had Mark Briscoe in it, so. Wasn't that match relatively recent?
Yes.
Okay. But Will, I don't have a lot of notes on this match. It was just, I mean, these four do have great chemistry.
It was kind of loosey-goosey. There was a lot of calls where it was like, was there an actual tag made? Not sure, but the ref's letting it go.
Just let these four beat the piss out of each other.
I think the closing sequence was the highlight for me.
They just said Mark's got a very belly-to-belly suplex, which is very unique, which is definitely an understatement. Mark just loves to throw people. And we love to watch Mark throw people. But Will, after a great match, what was the final, quote-unquote, sequence?
So Jay had Rhett up for the Doomsday Device. Mark jumps through the ropes, somewhat kicking Kenny King on the outside. He gets to the top. Kenny King shoves him off. Rhett reverses and then gets Jay up for the power. I don't remember what their move is, but like that power bomb blockbuster thing they're doing.
Yeah.
And then Mark gets up on the opposite corner and intercepts Kenny King in the air. And then Jay gets free, hits a Jay driller. And then apparently Mark was the legal man, which I lost track of that. I thought Jay was the legal man. But Mark hits the froggy bow on Rhett Titus for the 1-2-3.
And we got a code of honor. I mean, these two have a lot of history and a lot of respect for each other, so.
And I noticed they put that over a lot on this episode of TV, too, where it's like the matches start with a handshake, the matches end with a handshake.
Yeah, they really kind of hammered home the code of honor. But yeah, it's nice to have the All Night Express here back. You know, it's nice to have the Briscoes we talked about before. I mean, it's been like 2.5 years of this podcast where the Briscoes were not tag team champions. Probably one of
them. They don't need to be.
Yeah, which was obviously Jay's been embroiled in the world championship match, and Mark's just doing Mark things. It's been a lot of fun. It's really kind of cool that, I mean, the two heart and souls of Ring of Honor have not been, you know, the tag team that they will eventually be, which is a good thing. But Will, before we jump into Ring of Honor TV 217, any final thoughts? And as we always say, if you had just popped on the TV and all of a sudden you saw Caprice Coleman hitting a judgment seat on Will Ferrara, you know, on the good old WB on a Sunday afternoon in between, you know, church and work, would you keep watching?
2015, I would have been working. I mean, probably. I also like wrestling, so I mean, it's not a hard sell.
Yeah, but if you never watched Ring of Honor before, you know the gimmick. This is a pretty solid episode of TV, I thought.
Not a lot of story happening beyond the kind of continued, like, oh, we're going to talk about Steve Corino.
Yeah, I mean, we get the Nana. Is he trying to get a stable? Annex, you know, the Briscoes kind of continuing their feud. Is Caprice a bad guy, a good guy? You know, Veda's suing everybody. I don't know. I thought it was fun.
That was all right. The next episode, I think, was
a little better.
A plus.
Well, speaking of the next episode, Ring of Honor TV 217, my nephew's 15th birthday. It is glory by honor. Unless I had finally figured out, you know, that this is a TV taping from good old Kalamazoo, Michigan. I think I've brought this up before, but home of it's where Elvis Presley resided after he passed away. When he's working, you know, flipping burgers at Burger King. But once again, we do have Kevin Kelly and Nigel on the call.
Yeah, but Tom, the episode opens with a vignette.
It does.
We start outside the building. Actually, no, it's inside. It is outside because we start with...
They're changing the tires, so hopefully the car's not inside the building.
Well, there was a couple bits throughout the show. I just wanted to make sure that I started where it was supposed to.
No, the boys are pooping in a urinal. That's
right. The boys, at the start of the episode, Silas Young's going to start him easy. You guys are going to change a tire. One of them comes out with the face shield and a hammer, and they go to swing. He's like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? That's not how a man changes a tire. And, of course, they muscle out the spare. Then they bring out the jack, and he's like, I know I said you got to jack it up. Looks at the camera. Insert, oh, yeah. And then he's got he's like, you know, licking his hand. One of the boys is like, you know, licking the thumb, trying to clean up the face of the other one. The other one's got a bottle of hand sanitizer and stuff. And I was like, men don't use that. Men use manitizer. And he spits in his hand and rubs them together. Manitizer.
Silas being Silas.
And now that the tire is swapped out, he teaches the boys how to drive stick.
That was funny.
And as they stall across the screen, he's yelling, "The clutch! I told you, the clutch!"
Good shit, pal. Will, before we go any further on this TV taping, when was the last time you changed a tire, do you know? Do you remember?
Last time I changed a tire was...
I'm knocking on wood. Hopefully neither of us.
It was like a year or so ago.
All right, okay. Yeah, we blew a tire out in Missouri, and we probably should have changed it. But listen, we were moving across country, so we had all our
stuff. Actually, I think it was like 2 years ago. Because I ended up just putting my snow tires on. And my snow tires are still on that. Still on my other car, so.
Yeah. So you guys get snow tires up there, huh?
I always have. I have a set of both, yeah. I run all seasons in snow tires.
Nice. Smart man. Yeah, we're pretty good, but we should, I don't know, if definitely if we move, we should probably get some snow tires. But
I've got a new set of snows for my new car. I just got a set of rims for them. Because paying for them to be mounted and balanced is a drag. A lot of places won't do it anymore either.
Yeah.
A lot of places it won't work on them unless you bought them from there.
Yeah. Yeah, Faith was always pretty religious about her snow tires back in the day. It's something definitely her dad kind of ingrained in her. But, yeah, the last time we hopefully if you guys ever make it up here, we'll show you the corner of Faith. And I always think it's the changed tire. But, yeah, these guys were stuck and had a flat tire. And we were on our way to see Aquaman. And we were super early, so we stopped to help them change their tire. And then they kept falling off the jack. And then Faith's like, "Do you have your car, the parking brake on?" You're like, "No." And they're like, "Oh, that's why it keeps slipping off." So, Faith and I changed their tire. It was pretty funny. So, but Will, our first match, Ring of Honor TV, episode 217.
It's a beefy ass tag team match, Tom. We got Milwaukee's finest, Beer City Bruiser, Silas Young, and the boys carrying out that half keg. It's really hard as somebody who's done like stage acting. It's really hard to act like you can't do something.
Yeah.
Like that's probably an empty keg. They probably could easily carry it. No problem. The fact they're acting out the struggle.
Yeah.
Well, two people trying to carry this thing. But there's the mini keg in the ring. There's something at ringside.
Beer everywhere.
There's beer everywhere. Beer City Bruiser apparently threw his cigar. Kevin Kelly.
He's got his own brands of cigars. I remember I was talking to him on Facebook one time when I was out there for Supercard of Honor. Or no, G1 Supercard. And he's like, "Oh, come to the store, la da da." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I didn't, though. But anyways.
Well, you could have shared a stogie with Beer City Bruiser.
I was. I just stuck in my hostel and was watching the NXT TakeOver before I headed out. But not often that there's a match, Will, where Silas Young is by far the smallest competitor in the match.
Yeah, because on the other side of the ring is the number one contender for whoever comes out on top of this main event tag team title match, War Machine. There's a lot of beef in the ring.
Yeah. And all I got to say is these four gentlemen were tailor-made to fight each other. Like, I mean, I could watch singles matches between Beer City Bruiser and Hanson. And can you imagine a singles match between Roll and fucking Silas? Great chemistry between the four of them. They're just, you know, tit for tat. I don't have a lot of notes on this match. But damn. These two really
hard hitting power wrestling.
It was good shit, pal. Do you have any further notes on this spectacular match that I didn't put any notes on and sat back and enjoyed before we go to the ending?
No.
But in the end, I ask you this every fucking week, and one of these days I'll let you type it down. What's the name of their movie again? War Machine?
Fallout.
Fallout. War Machine is Fallout. I'm Beer City Bruiser. To get a very important win, like I said, they want to keep
the. I think it's what stands out to me too is that, like you said, Silas Young is the smallest dude in this match. But with this team, Silas Young is not the one taking the pins.
No. They have high hopes for Silas, obviously. And then at the end of the match, it looks like Silas and Beer City and Bruiser are beating up the boys, but they cut to black. And Will, after that, we hear this great promo and recap on Steve Corino that everyone can enjoy right here, and Will and I will pontificate right after.
Take on whoever are the world tag team champions on that day. And look at how well they've done tonight. Maybe they may be the next Ring of Honor world tag team champions. Hey, there's no need for this. Let's take you back and show you what happened when Steve Corino crossed the line, did one punch in Steve Corino's Ring of Honor career. No holds barred. No DQ. BJ Whitmer, as you see, putting on the headset, so I guess we're going to be graced by his presence here at ringside.
You absolutely are, Kevin. Destroy and implode this little family of yours.
Hey, we're back with my family, right?
If you're gonna sit here, put the headset on and sit here.
You're just a piece of garbage. You will get the car. Now he lost because of you. Where were you when he needed you? You were over here going with Corino when Paige was signaling for you. What an effort by Adam Page.
You know why I brought you out here? You were a color commentator. You were not allowed to put your hands on any contracted wrestler. You grabbed him by the neck. BJ's had injuries. You could have worsened those injuries. So we let you go home. We let you think about it. And we brought you back with a zero tolerance policy. We explained, we said to you, if you touch a wrestler again, you're done. We told you, you heard it, you understood it. I understand what you did, but I cannot condone it. I'm sorry, it's probably one of the hardest things I'm ever gonna do, but I cannot reinstate you as a color commentator.
Well, actions have consequences.
Which, Steve, leaves me with only one option. I can reinstate you as a wrestler. seen since I was 8 years old. Being a professional wrestler was the only thing I ever wanted to do. And for 21 years, I have lived that dream. And as a 42-year-old man, I never, ever would have guessed that I would have the opportunity to be in this very ring and be cheered by some of the greatest wrestling fans in the entire world. My body's beat. 79 tours of Japan guaranteed that. But I never complained. That's the life of being a professional wrestler. But for the last few months, I've had a pain in my neck that's gotten worse over time. The numbness in my hand and fingers has become more frequent. And my wife, God bless her, she told me to go to the doctor, which led me to an MRI, which led me to hopefully getting news that it was just 21 years of busting my ass in this ring. But I was wrong. The doctors told me that I need major neck surgery to fuse at least 3 vertebrae in my neck and that my in-ring career is over. I'm not saying that this is goodbye because 21 years ago I never would have imagined I'd be in this ring today. And professional wrestlers, we never retire until our last breath. But if this is goodbye, I just want to thank Ring of Honor for so many great memories and keeping me around when they really didn't have to. I want to thank guys like Kerry Silkin, Sinclair Broadcasting, Hunter Johnston, Kevin Kelly, Bobby Cruz, Nigel McGuinness, Adam Pearce, Jimmy Jacobs, Colt Cabana, Kevin Steen. All the great staff members and all the boys in the back that bust their rear ends in every single match to bust their necks, bust their backs, bust their heads. All for you. Thank you, because if I never get to come here again, I just want you all to know one thing. My name is Steve Corino, and I will always be an evil man. Thank you.
Be unable to compete at Final Battle as Steve Corino takes a bow here tonight. All we can say is thank you, Steve.
Well, hopefully everyone enjoyed that. Like we mentioned earlier, if this is your first time listening to Ring of Honor Revelry, welcome. But if you're a longtime listener, to listen to our two or three longtime listeners, we love Steve Corino. We got a real quick, we got that recap of Corino knocking out BJ Whitmer. Definitely, you should go back in the archives.
And, well, how they really made the quarter shine.
Yeah.
On the ring. They really, like, highlighted, like the punch with the quarters.
But then obviously we got not well, I shouldn't say obviously, but we have Nigel in the ring, calls out Steve Corino. And at one point I was like, wow, after three, and we've talked about this, you know, the consistency, the by far the longest storyline in Ring of Honor history up to this point is the 3 years of Steve Corino badgering BJ Whitmer. But now we're going to get a fight without honor and final battle between Steve Corino and BJ Whitmer. Oh, wait.
Unfortunately, Tom, it's not meant to be. The doctors have not cleared Steve Corino for in-ring. He's got some numbing in the hand. He's like, you know, sometimes it's nothing, but this time it's something. Steve Corino is not cleared for in-ring return.
Were you confused?
No. I also know a little bit more going forward than you do.
Okay. So
I thought it was a big jump, right? When he's like, you know, I can't bring you back as an announcer, but I could bring you back as a wrestler. And even Steve had that look where it's like, I don't know about that.
Too bad Nigel wasn't on Harry Potter. That would have been perfect. Okay. I'm just going to go on.
Nigel is a magician.
That is true. Yeah, don't the doesn't the mothership, don't they have a couple good Nigel vending stories?
No, because Nigel didn't show up.
Well, yeah, so that'll do it.
Because Mike Mondo was supposed to be there too.
So, shout out to the Shining Wizards. If you're talking shit, go fuck yourself. But anyways. Well, I'm just going to go with what I know. You would think that Steve Corino would communicate the fact that he can't wrestle the Nigel. But I guess we're going to find out.
Well, in storyline too, this is all kind of happening like.
Kind of quickly,
yeah.
But very slowly, as it's been 3 years, but kind of quickly, in other words. So, yeah, because if Steve Corino has gone through iterations. Obviously, we had the scum thing. Then Steve Corino is a good guy again. But the one thing Steve Corino has always been constantly saying since we've been on this podcast is how much he hates BJ Whitmer. Good shit, Phil. But then, Will, we have another promo with the boys and Silas Young. So the boys were going to go to the women's room. I thought that was kind of odd.
Not everything ages great, Tom.
No. The boys pooping in the urinal, I thought was kind of funny.
Right. I think it's supposed to be playing up the joke that they've never seen a urinal before.
Yeah. It was just a... But, you know, it is, you know.
I'll say, as somebody who's had to clean public restrooms, you don't want to use the women's restroom. Animals.
Yeah.
It looks like a war zone all the time.
Yeah, I've...
You know, you go to a men's room and you deal with people who put, like, a whole roll of toilet paper in the thing, or they don't flush their shit down.
Literally.
Or they might piss on the seat. But it's like, you go into a women's bathroom, you never know what you're going to find in there.
Yeah. At least in one of my old jobs, too, the best part about cleaning the women's room was there was always a bunch of leftover cocaine left on the back of the toilet seat. So,
hey, now we're talking.
Oh, the good old days. So, but anyways, we have some, before I get myself in too much trouble, I'm sure the statute of limitations and all that shit is over with, but we get story time with Adam Cole. And he's still upset about all these jamokes, blah, 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 blah. And we find out next week we're getting Jay Lethal versus...
Yeah, he's coming out a little more positive, right? He's looking past that he's being neglected another title shot so he can focus all his energy and efforts into destroying Kyle O'Reilly. So thank you, Nigel, for passing me over for a title opportunity.
Yeah. But after that, oh, this is what I was going to text JCB. We get Michael Elgin versus Grand Ole Wrestling alum KLD.
I was going to say, I heard Elgin, and it's like, Kevin Kelly's like, you know, still reeling from the Carino news. So he's kind of like, oh, sorry, I didn't do a proper like introduction to this guy. And then Elgin like hit a forearm, buckle bomb.
That was it.
It was done. This was a snappy match.
Actually, it was just the forearm. He didn't even hit the buckle bomb.
Oh, that's right.
Because KLD is not a small dude. I've actually met KLD on a couple of occasions. He is a St. Louis stalwart. I was at his retirement show. I actually watched a Grand Ole Wrestling show next to his family in a fancy seat up in the Grand Ole, which is a great place to watch wrestling, by the way. So show
See, I stepped away for a moment, Tom, and I missed the whole match.
That's out of my notes. I have Elgin versus Grand Ole Wrestling alum.
I had it playing. I walked to my kitchen to get something, came back, and it was already over. The replay of the match was already over.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, Elgin versus Grand Ole Wrestling alum KLD, which it took, this match took me longer to type that than the match actually went. So it was like 6 seconds.
And I'm
like,
this match, it will not be graded on Cage Match as it does not meet.
It was literally
requirements.
6 seconds, and half of that was obviously the kimono, which kind of sucks because KLD, he's not a small dude.
Hey, he got paid.
He did.
So. What a gig. Get paid, take a forearm, take the three, go home with money in your pocket.
Maybe. You know, $50, a hot dog, and a handshake.
Hey, listen, nothing wrong with $50 and a hot dog.
Yeah, but Michael Elgin wants that Ring of Honor belt. He's been in and out of Japan, but the one thing he really wants is that Ring of Honor belt. Boy, Will, I wonder when that match is going to happen.
Well, a little bit of foreshadowing, right? I just spent some time in Japan. What I really want is the Ring of Honor title.
If you don't know what we're talking, you
have we said it? I'm pretty sure we've said it on air already, haven't we?
I think we have, but if we haven't,
because we hemmed and hawed about maybe doing a watch along or trying to track it down, but
yeah,
January at Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, I was going to keep it kayfabe, but
hey, Tom, we're doing a wrestling podcast. There is no kayfabe. Except for the identity of romantic touch.
There is a future match between Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal. Well, yeah, now we know who's going to win the main event of Final Battle.
I mean, we already know. If people are aware, I mean, AJ Styles is in the E in January, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if they have that match. Okay, so just to, you know, to spoil it here, if you haven't been.
I mean, it's probably in the New Japan archives. I don't.
Well, I know that, yeah.
Maybe you think we get it on like a TV?
I don't know.
Do they poach a match off Wrestle Kingdom to put on TV? I mean, they could. It's a Ring of Honor match, so it's not like it's a main event.
That's a Ring of Honor world title match. So, yeah, so January 2016, we get Jay Lethal versus Michael Elgin at Wrestle Kingdom in the Tokyo Dome.
That's a big thing for Ring of Honor, not so much New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. Versus Wrestle Kingdom. All right. Well, yeah. After that, we have the Addiction versus the Kingdom.
I remember this match.
Wait, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole wrestled for the Ring of Honor World Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, too? Huh.
On a different year, maybe?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it too much. Wrestle Kingdom 10, Jay Lethal versus Michael Elgin on the YouTube machine. But Will, you have a little bit more history with this match than I do. You know, like I said, Will was watching sporadically in real time back in 2015.
Yes, I remember this match.
Oh, it's one of those fucking video game fucking things.
Oh, you fell sucker to the 2K.
Yep. Walk right off. Well, it's definitely obviously. Oh, it's on Plex. I mean, I have New Japan World. Oh, we'll figure it out. But anyways, Will, the Kingdom versus the Addiction. Obviously, you know, the Addiction lost the titles without being pinned. They're mad. The Kingdom are still champions. They're still assholes. But Will, you kind of remember this match a little bit, huh?
I knew the antics towards the end, but the Addiction's in a sour mood. Saban's there. There's a conspiracy against the kingdom, or not against against the addiction. Also, some they said there's a little bit of heat from the addiction towards Nigel, not just about the tag titles, but also about the Steve Corino situation. Apparently, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian not impressed with the removal of Steve Corino.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kazarian yelling out to Nigel, this is all your fault.
Love it. But, you know, they make a big deal on commentary that, you know, these two teams are less than honorable, I guess we'll say. A lot of cheating. My favorite spot, and we talked about this in pre-production, Matt Taven grabs the belt, Frankie Kazarian grabs the belt, they're about to hit each other. And then they both do the Eddie Guerrero fake hitting spot. I thought that was pretty funny. And then, you know, Paul Turner starts doing the count. And then, you know, he's counting at Taven. And then Frankie's behind him, like, laughing. I thought that was pretty fucking priceless, too. Super solid match. You know, these four are pros.
Yeah, the belt, the Eddie Guerrero spot, where both teams are trying to get it to go, and they're both yelling at the ref, they're faking. Then at one point, Maria Kanellis and Chris Sabin are ejected, and they both make their way back out to ringside.
Didn't last very long.
No. But Tom, the closing moments of the match, Kazarian was going for an unprettier, and he ate a super kick from a fella in a red mask, and then a spear by Mike Bennett.
And the kingdom retained.
I'm pretty sure it was this episode, but when Bennett yells out, he's like, I've seen this on TV. I think it was earlier in the match. He does a spot where he's like, I saw this on TV.
Bennett does get a good job of trolling WWE stuff. So,
I thought
he was gone by now, but
the kingdom
retained.
Defeats the addiction again. They retain. And while celebrating up on the ramp, their challengers at Final Battle, War Machine.
Is this where War Machine?
Do War Machine get the tag belts?
I guess we're going to have to find out.
I don't know.
I may or may not know. Unfortunately, I may.
Because, like you said, Bennett does go back to the WWE soon-ish.
Yeah. Goes back? Was he there before?
Well, Maria was there before.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Did they know each other back then?
I don't know.
Mike Bennett.
On this day.
Wrestler. He just turned 40. Looks good for 40. I know we looked at this before. Yeah, because we were kind of shocked. When Ring of Honor until 2015, so I guess we're gonna little run New Japan. Oh shit, he was in TNA for 2 years, and then yeah, okay, interesting. Will, once again, I know it's a double shot TV this month, or this week. Sorry, it's just not going underground. What do you think of this episode, Will? Would you keep watching if you pop this up?
Oh, absolutely. The bits with Silas and the boys. It was tag team heavy, which is fine by me. Big tag team.
Yeah,
I'm a tag team wrestling guy.
Oh, God, I hope at least once we get to see Raymond Rowe versus Silas in a singles match. Raymond Rowe's really strong.
Yeah. I think all the guys in that ring are pretty strong.
Yeah, but Ray's just different, you know.
When you talk about people being built different, Ray Rowe is one of those people who's built different.
Yeah. Definitely the kind of guy, at least, if I walked into a bar.
If he wasn't plagued by injury.
Still to this day.
To this day.
I mean, at least they've got a couple run, you know, a nice couple title runs in the E and stuff like that. But yeah, if I'm in a bar, listen, I have a lot of rules in life, but I always say if I'm in a bar with rugby players and Marines, their first drink's always on me. But yeah, if I walked in there, I would not even know Ray Rowe. I'm like, hey, here's a drink, pal. I don't even drink, but here you go. So, they would listen to the same kind of music, so that helps too. So, well, Will, do our plugs here real quick, and then we'll get to our question of dishonor from our good friend, Mr. UTT Rob. But obviously, make sure you're following all the great shows here on Visionaries Global Media. It won't be dropping for a couple of weeks, but Josh and I, the full Going Underground crew, will be in the building as we're doing a watch-along for Ultima Lucha Dos, which is actually 3.5 hours long, just the watch-along. So strap in for that one, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, the Good Cop, Bad Cop, Matt, Ryan, and this guy over there, the longest-running podcast on Visionaries Global Media. Also, obviously, banned from Ringside, the flagship show. Slow and steady, never missed a week. Shout out to all the guys over at Banned from Ringside. With our question of dishonor from Rob, you know, hopefully the guys from Just Conspiracy, Mike and Graham, listen to that. So I wonder if they've ever addressed the Mandela Effect. So a little shout out there for that. Obviously, Freed's still pumping out content. Hopefully, we get some more stuff from Freed's coming out here soon. But Will, am I missing anything from Visionaries Global Media?
I don't think so.
But all the great shows also on the Shining Wizards Network, obviously. Our good friend, the Impact player, Phil Rads, put out 2 episodes of Turnbuckle Throwbacks recently, so it's good to say. Good to see Corey and Steve back over on 30 Screams or Less. I do watch those on the YouTube machine, so it's a lot of fun. Obviously, shout out to our favorite wizard, the third member of this the triumvirate that is Ring of Honor Revelry, our good friend Brendan, and the mothership. The mother show, whatever you want to call it, over there at Shining Wizards Network. But Will, high fivers. We'll see everybody after this commercial.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
Then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
As always, hopefully everyone enjoyed that great block of commercials from the Shining Wizards Network. Hopefully we get some kind of update on that. I do need to talk to Matt and Tony about that. But Will, we have a question of dishonor that's probably also suitable for Just a Conspiracy. I'm going to actually test Graham about this right now. From our good friend, Mr. UTT Rob.
I don't take him the territories. Give him a follow. He's a sweetheart. He likes jacket potatoes.
He's got more. He got Ring of Honor rubber stickers before Will, which I still.
And he lives on the other side of the world.
He does. So I swear, Rob, we're going to figure out some collaboration here. So I haven't had you in my ear holes for long enough at this point.
Someday, we're going to play Don't Wake Dead.
Now, if you want to know what that is, you got to go way deep into the crates of Ring of Honor rubbery, as the kids like to say. But Will, do you have our question from our good friend, Mr. UTT Rob?
As per us mentioning the Mandela effect on 198, Tom, which member of the 2015 Ring of Honor roster slipped through the continuum from the LHC and was not actually part of the original Ring of Honor continuity? So for those of you who don't know, it's like the, I'll give you another niche answer. It's like in the second season of Umbrella Academy, when all these people are finding VHS tapes and stuff from things that exist outside of their timeline. So Rob wants to know who we think in the 2015 Ring of Honor roster wasn't truly supposed to be part of the Ring of Honor roster. You know, it could be that romantic touch.
Yeah.
He seems awfully familiar.
So you think there's another timeline out there where Kenny King does not get fired from Ring of Honor and All Night Express remains tag team champions for the better part of 2 years?
Are you implying that Rhett Titus and Romantic Touch are potentially the same person?
I didn't say they're the same person.
You know, we shouted at Veda Scott for being a lunatic for believing such things.
Another conspiracy. For some odd reason, Grizzly Redwood brings to mind, but
I popped a little when they mentioned him on I'm pretty sure they mentioned him. I don't remember if it was on the Wizards or if they mentioned him on the bonus episode. They mentioned Grizzly Redwood. It's like, oh, I remember Grizzly Redwood. But my vote is going to be the Romantic Touch.
Okay.
Despite Romantic Touch being referenced to later by Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah.
During the formation of the foundation. Or maybe this KDH guy isn't supposed to originally be there. Maybe that's why a forearm is all it took to You want to knock him out.
Trying to think. Ugh. 45% use general AI at work. Great. It's a good question, Will. A romantic touch. I mean, that makes sense. I don't know if I can beat that. I'm trying to think like old school, like
David. Well, good thing we're not playing that game.
Yeah. I don't know. You got me. I can't really beat romantic touch. Who would have slipped through the cracks? Or the reverse. Maybe someone was supposed to be in Ring of Honor and they're not. I'm trying to think for a minute. Who skipped
you Ring kid, of Honor? Who'd be wrestling around this time that didn't touch Ring of Honor? That if you look back, it's like, how were they not a Ring of Honor guy?
Johnny Gargano.
It's a little surprising he never touched Ring of Honor. Touched Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, which a lot of the Ring of Honor guys touch at the same time.
Yeah.
But right, he never touched.
I don't know if he ever did.
That's it. Cage match is up. I'm gonna get an answer.
But I'm gonna go that another timeline, Johnny Gargano shows up in Ring of Honor.
Does DIY happen in Ring of Honor, or is he doing something else entirely?
I think something else entirely. Johnny.
I must have spelled his fucking name wrong because it says there's no Johnny Gargano in cage match, and I find that hard to believe.
His rating's 88.82, 739 votes.
Yeah, people like him.
Let's see here. Matches. Wrestling. Don't they have a spot where they can look up just promotions? News and rumors, career highlights, matches, career game, match game, promos, rivalries, tag teams and stables, entourage awards, theme, interesting games, ranks. It's only 38.
It's under career. Under career, you can see the... Tom, I am not seeing Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
he touched WWE in 2007. In 2011, and he was in CCW.
God, look at that 2016 and 15. Jesus Christ.
Evolve, WWE.
Absolutely.
World Wrestling Network, Smash.
AEW, Beyond, Chikara, Legacy, Dream.
Progress.
Chaotic Wrestling. Wait, is that your Chaotic?
Yeah. Hog.
Wow. I am a fucking genius. Oh, wait. 2008. One match.
Oh, shit. There it is.
That's it.
It was a dark match. Johnny Gargano defeated Sammy Callahan at ROH Age of Insanity.
Wow. From Cleveland, Ohio. That makes sense. Holy shit. So, yeah, I'm going to pick that Johnny Gargano in another timeline slips into Ring of Honor. And he takes that. Who do you replace? And he goes on the Austin Aries run. Where does he replace Bryan Danielson? Which would be funny. Yeah, fuck it. I know the timelines don't match up. It's our fucking podcast. I'm going to say that Johnny Gargano slips in and Daniel Bryan never shows up in Ring of Honor and Johnny's replaced by Johnny Gargano.
Imagine the wrestling landscape if Daniel Bryan never was Ring of Honor.
Shit be fucking crazy.
Because if he was never in Ring of Honor, you never have the Pro Wrestler Diaries.
Yeah.
You don't have him getting fired from NXT for choking Justin Roberts with a tie.
Yeah.
You don't, like, I don't know if wrestling that we have today would be the same if Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him, was not there.
Yeah. Wow. This dude was all over the place from 13 to 16. There's not a lot of repeats. And there's some. Excite Wrestling. I'm going to say he's only 38. You know, and he's had a chance to wrestle from WWE. So. God, yeah, they've been there for 10 years now. Good on him. 78 matches in 17, 65, 31, 2020, 28, 2020, 19, 2021, 19, 2022, 36 matches, 23, 58 matches last year. He's been 28 matches this year, so. My cat's got the zoomies, so. Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. I like your Rick Titus. And I also, Johnny Gargano replacing Daniel Bryan in the Ring of Honor lore. And like I said, I realize that there's, you know, Daniel Bryan was a day oneer in Ring of Honor, but fuck it. But fuck it.
Listen, so is Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, right?
No, it was super crazy.
Super crazy.
Yeah, and Eddie Guerrero was a day oneer. So, and I guess his passing's anniversary is like today.
It was recently, if it wasn't already passed, yeah.
Yeah, shit's crazy, so. All right, well.
That seriously bummed me out when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even really watching wrestling at the time. Even
yeah, November 13th, 2005.
God damn.
But, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Make sure you enjoy all the great shows here on Visionaries Global Media. Enjoy all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. And just enjoy whatever podcast you listen to that may not even be on those networks. Will, do you have any particular podcast that you want to shout out this week?
Oh, I'll say a brief sorry for your loss to Comic Book Couples Counseling. Lisa's father.
That sucks.
Passed recently. Kind of figured something like that was going on because they had alluded to that there was some family stuff going on that involved a lot of hospital visits, a lot of people taking turns, being in charge of different things. So sorry for their loss. They've still been putting out episodes. Comic Book Keepers just did a Peacemaker episode, so I think that would be a one worth checking out if you enjoyed the show. Peacemaker's origins very, very different from
the TV show.
From what John Cena has got ingrained into the hive mind.
Have you watched season 2 yet?
We watched a couple episodes. We kind of fell off it. We've been watching the MCU stuff from chronologically.
Nice.
From the start, which was a little bit of a hump trying to get her to understand why we were watching a movie from 2011 first and then a movie from 2008. I'm like, no, because these happened in this order, not the order they came out in.
Right. Yeah, I've been watching to kind of break it up. I've been watching Homicide: Life in the Streets, an old NBC movie from the TV show. It's a little heavy. So sometimes you need a little levity, so I throw on an episode of Peacemaker. But I did restart Stranger Things, so I should be all caught up by the time
season 5, the first half of season 5 comes out.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it till New Year's. I mean, I'm going to watch I'll probably watch the first season for the first episode of season 5 just to kind of get, you know, yeah, I'll have to wait till everything's done because, yeah, we shouldn't have started watching it right when it began, but it is what it is, so.
Stranger Things continuity problems.
Yeah. But yeah.
Remember that episode where she meets another one of the kids and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to be like bad guys now. And they like totally scrap that thought later. Like, nope, there's nobody else. Don't forget about that episode.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a whole other season. Well, you never know. They may address it. So we'll see. But like they would say at PFBR, there's plenty of podcasts out there For people to listen to, we are great, eternally grateful for all people that listen to ours.
You know what? I'll put over. I'll put over Wrestling Jeopardy.
Well, that's fun.
The YouTube channel. Every Sunday, I think he posts up a new Jeopardy thing, and it's very fun to listen to when I'm doing stuff around the house. He plays with very lax rules, so if you guess and you get it wrong, you don't lose any points. And if you go into a daily double and you get it right, because it's always all in, you double your score if you get it right. But you don't lose anything if you guess wrong.
Well, everybody enjoy all the great, enjoy everything. Enjoy wrestling. You know, unfortunately, I only watch wrestling from Japan or from 2015 Ring of Honor or 2016 Going Underground at this point in my life. But
are you up with the New Japan?
Getting there, yeah.
Wearing my Desperado t-shirt.
I was going to ask you about that. So
my Peach Momoko Desperado t-shirt.
Yeah.
Straight from Japan.
Our friend of the show.
Who the hell's junior heavyweight champ right now? It's Doki, right?
Yeah, bad guy Doki.
Bad guy Doki.
But Doki's bad. He's horse torture.
Oh, no. I can't like Doki anymore.
I know.
I did like Doki and the Doki Choki.
Yeah. But,
Oh, that guy's not on with New Japan either, isn't he? The commentator, didn't he get axed?
No, he came back.
Good, because Tony Khan sells.
Yeah, but he's.
I can say it. We're not affiliated.
Right. We do what the fuck we want. So
I'll change my opinion of Tony Khan if he starts covering my $9.99 a month for Honor Club.
But yeah, speaking of New Japan, shout out to Big Dick Brett, who's heading over for Wrestle Kingdom.
He just had a birthday recently.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Big Dick Brett.
Happy belated birthday, Big Dick Brett.
And then enjoy Japan. Or
if it was Homicide, I'd be.
But as my work meeting is over, so I should probably actually get a little bit of work done here. So that worked out perfectly.
Well, all the other times you say you talk about breaking the fourth wall, and now the end of the episode, you're going to say that you were recording during a work meeting.
Hey, you know. It's why they pay me the big bucks. So it's one of those luxuries when you're actually decent at your job and actually work hard and actually do it. It's funny how that works.
Just wait till December when I'm officially the bakery manager and my screen just says the muffin man every time we sign it.
That's good shit. Good shit, pal. Well, Will, my friend, I will see you next week. But thank you, high fivers, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
This is the beginning of the end right here. Oh, no. Jay Triller.
Reach for the sky, boy.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We miss you, Jay.